Welcome to the Sunflower Conversations, where we explore the hidden disability sunflower and its role in supporting people with hidden disabilities.
Joining me today on the Sunflower Stories is Danielle Allen. Danielle, thank you for joining me today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm obviously Danielle Allen. I am a mum to three great children. One is nearly 18, another one is 14 next month, and my youngest is actually 8 years old today. So busy, and I work full time. I'm an event manager, so I don't have too much spare time for hobbies, but when I do, I like to have friends around and cook lots of lovely food and drink lots of nice wine.
That sounds incredibly appealing. So what is your experience with non-visible disabilities?
So I was diagnosed with obsessive anxiety disorder. When my son was born, he was really poorly.
What was it called? Did it have a name?
Yeah, so it was called coarctation of the aorta. So it's basically the main aorta, the going into the heart, was narrowed, so it was cutting off his blood supply, and it was quite a kind of significant narrowing. So they had to do an operation which was called the subclavian flap. So they took another piece of heart and kind of made a flap, cut the narrowing out, and then made a flap to pull it back together again. So he was in intensive care for a couple of days, but he did recover quickly and really, you know, really well. The team at Southampton were absolutely amazing. So then after that, I went back to work when he was about 16 weeks old, because I thought, I can't be at home just thinking about this the whole time. So I thought, if he was, you know, he was being looked after, you checked and looked after, but he was at home with us. And I had a very close family friend who was a childminder, so she said she would look after him for me. So I went back to work full time. And then literally about 6 years later, I was just sat in my lounge one day, not really thinking about anything. And it was just almost like this light from nowhere just came into me. Don't believe what they've told you. You need to go and check his result. You know, you need to go through all his paperwork. They could be lying to you. He could not be very well, could have something else that they haven't told you. And I just do not know where it came from. Yeah, for about a year after that, I think I was just Googling every day what he'd had done. Could it affect his life expectancy? Could things go wrong in the future? And it was so draining, literally, and I couldn't focus at work properly. Went to the doctors, and they said, I think this is post-traumatic stress. They wanted me to see a counsellor, but for me, that I know everyone's different. For me, counselling didn't work. I had to train my brain, and I had to teach myself a lot to deal with it in my head. People can tell you and they can advise you, but I think a lot of it came from me as well, just kind of trying to turn it around and over a long period of time,
yes,
trying to turn it around and just think more positively in general.
When you reflect, did any of your friends and family say whether you were kind of displaying some signs between that sort of that operation and the 6 years, or did it literally come out of nowhere?
It literally came out of nowhere. I mean, as a child, I think I've always gone on the side of a slight worrier. I've also tried to keep the worry to myself rather than...
Yeah, so that's actually you being incredibly brave, because your instinct is to surround him, protect him, never let go of him. You know, it's something we have to fight against, isn't it? Like, let them fly, let them live, and be there to support them. And thankfully, Louis was sent to the hospital on that 10th day.
Obviously, he's turning 18 in May next year, so he's now at the stage where, you know, alcohol and other things can come into the equation. just making sure he understands he's got to keep looking after his heart, you know.
With your PTSD and obsessive anxiety disorder, did that take on a physical effect on you?
Yeah, I lost a lot of weight. I did not stop eating totally, but it made me sick when I was thinking about it and thinking about eating food. I just, yeah, didn't want to do that. And I was also so tired because my mind was constantly 24/7, but a lot of the time just had, you know, all these different thoughts going around in my head. It's definitely made me a stronger person.
So what do you think about the hidden disability sunflower?
I think it's great, especially for people that have, you know, hidden disability, whatever that might be. Try and be kind and think, you know, everyone is different and everyone has things going on that other people aren't aware of. So I think the hidden disability scheme really promotes, you know, what we should be doing to just bear that in mind.
Would you have any advice to a parent who maybe has experienced similar journey to what you have in the midst of the anxiety and the PTSD at the moment?
I do think it is really good to speak to people, and especially if you've got a good, you know, friends and family that will listen to you, and just be open to trying different techniques as well. As I said, the CBT worked quite well for me. And if you do feel you're struggling, go to your, you know, your doctor and speak to them and see what they can recommend for you.
I just want to thank Danielle so much for sharing her personal journey and story with her own hidden disabilities and also her son Louis. And we wish Danielle and Louis lots of positive, great, good health going forward. And thank you so much.
If you'd like to share your sunflower story or conversation, please email conversations@hiddendisabilitiesstore.com. Find out more about us or listen to this recording again by checking out our insights page at hiddendisabilitiesstore.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Please help, have patience, and show kindness to others, and join us again soon. Making the invisible visible with the hidden disability sunflower.